against the steps. "Sisters, novices, we are to have an unexpected visit tomorrow. Shazal, sister to the Emperor, is approaching from the east and has requested a tour of this convent. High Priest Nevis will be meeting the royal procession at the city gates and accompanying our honored guest on her visit."
"Shazal?" Nona looked around at Ara. "Wasn't it her soldiers that tried to steal you from your father when he was summoned to court? And now she's come in person to take you?"
"Don't be stupid," Clara hissed. "The Emperor himself couldn't take Arabella from Sweet Mercy. That's why the Jots has sent her here."
The wind swirled cold about them, lifting habits and streaming hair. Abbasglass bent into it, continuing her address. "Classes are suspended until our visitor's departure. Sisters are encouraged to recruit novices to the necessary tasks of preparation. Girls that Sister Rule requires for choir duty are excused other labor. I'm sure that Sister Chrysanthemum will be happy to find work for any novices at a loose end. There's always some part of the convent that needs scrubbing. It goes without saying that we seek to present our best face tomorrow, but I will say it in any event. High Priest Nevis's last visit was somewhat traumatic, so let us do our utmost to replace that memory with happier ones. And Shazal, of course, honors us with her presence. Let us strive to deserve it."
Abbasglass waved to set the assembly free. Nona's eyes tracked the Abbas's hand, still curled around the scar tissue from where the candle had burned her. Any visit that Vitel announced held the potential to prove more deadly than Noi Guin arriving unheralded in the night.
"Ancestor!" Ruli glanced around. "Let's run before Sister Mop has us cleaning out the necessary."
"Run, peasants!" Clara grinned. "I shall sing for my supper."
And with that she started off towards Sister Rule, who stood by the dome, yardstick waving above her head to summon the choir. Nona tried to smile back, but behind her eyes she saw the scream on Abbasglass's face as she held her hand above that steady flame. Without warning, the ice wind howled, returning Nona to the present. It spoke again, its voice frost-laden, abrading flesh, as if in place of ice it carried a million tiny throwing stars, and everyone ran for shelter. Chapter 24. Nona staggered into the grey-class dormitory, brushing ice from the thick shock of her hair, hair that only minutes before had been steaming as she toweled it dry in the bathhouse. She had thought that Blade Class exercised every muscle she owned, but 3 hours of sweeping, scrubbing, and polishing under Sister Mop's beady eye had helped her discover new ones, and they hurt.
"I think I strained my voice."
Clara lay on a bed close to the door, flat on her back, staring at the ceiling, outer habit pooled on the floor, long legs stretched. Her silver crown gleamed on an open palm.
"I think I strained everything but my voice."
Nona looked around for an unused bed. Ara came in behind her, hair caked with ice at the front, still steaming at the back.
"I saw Sister Wheel telling Mop to put you on cleaning the privies."
"Fortunately, Moppy has novices she really doesn't like," Nona said. She knew the best way to earn the nun's ire was to leave a mess in the refectory. The nun approved of anyone who left nothing on their plate, so Nona had become something of a favorite.
"She likes you because you're a peasant," Clara said. "Mop likes girls who aren't scared of hard work. Me, she would have had washing the cliff below the necessary while Sister Rule used it."
Ara pushed on into the room, and with a short sprint launched herself over 2 girls lying on their blankets, belly flopping onto an unoccupied bed. Nona frowned, still hunting a bed to claim as her own. At the far end of the room, Darla hulked, her back to them, hunched over something in her lap.
"Who sleeps there?"
Nona pointed at an empty bed opposite Ara's. It was quite neatly made, but still perhaps a touch too untidy to be unclaimed.
"Alata,"
Clara nodded to the bed behind her. Nona blinked.
2 feet protruded from the heap of blankets, but it wasn't the number of feet that drew her eye, just the fact that one was darkest brown, the other milky. At the top end she could see only a fan of red hair spread across the pillow. They said in red class that some older novices kept the same beds, but Nona had never seen it before. The shutters rattled as the ice wind peppered them with hail. Clara patted the blanket beside her.
"Going to be cold tonight. You can share if you like."
She said it lightly, but the words carried a weight even so. Nona's eyes strayed to the 2 bare feet again, one rubbing the other now. She felt her cheeks blaze and looked away, confused.
"This one's free,"
Ara waved, pointing at a bed a few further along from her.
"I ache too much to share,"
Nona clutched her side.
"Darla knows how to kick."
She hobbled on down the aisle between the beds, not wanting to see if she'd put any hurt in Clara's eyes. Nona eased herself into her new bed like an old woman, the bruises from her beating starting to stiffen. She hoped that Darla's injuries hurt more than hers did. The big girl shot her a dirty look but held her tongue. With her right hand and left foot both bandaged, she probably had no appetite for further trouble. Either way, Nona lacked the energy to care. She rolled her head towards Ara.
"What are threads?"
Sisters Flint, Wheel, and Kettle had been drawn to the assassin's knife, all arriving at Blade Hall within minutes of each other. Quite how that happened had been nagging at Nona, all the while she scrubbed and cleaned.
"Threads are complicated,"
Ara said, her head on her pillow.
"I'm too tired for complicated,"
Nona said.
"They're almost the path, but not quite. Everything has its own threads, and they tangle with each other. A trained quantal can weave one person's threads with another's, or with a thing. Or an untrained one can do it by accident, like Hessa did with you. A mystic sister must have linked the threads from something left behind by the escaped assassin to some of our nuns. They probably used the twin to the dagger you got, which was why the link was so strong. And they did it so that they might be able to sense if she came back.
Sister Pan did that?"
Ara snorted. "Pan? She's too old. She hasn't touched the path in years.
No, it must have been a proper mystic, a holy witch.
So why didn't they find the knife ages ago?"
"It's complicated."
"You don't know?"
Ara laughed.
"Not really, no. But I know there are threads to draw you to a thing that is still, and threads that will pull on you when a thing is moving. I guess they chose and tied threads that would pull on the sisters if the assassin was moving close to the convent. And that included her possessions, which they assumed she would be carrying. They had one of her other 2 knives to work with. And then, when you moved the first knife, they came."
"Ouch!" Nona remembered Sister Kettle seemingly unwrapping herself from the shadows at the base of the wall and cannoning into her already beaten body. She frowned.
"The nuns were there before I even touched the knife. They say a really strong bond can give a premonition. Some things bind better than others, but with time, the threads always come loose."
They lay without speaking for a while, and the room quietened around them. Eventually another question floated to the surface of Nona's sleepiness. She yawned hugely, then asked it.
"Why don't the Emperor's sisters have titles? Shouldn't they be Princess Sherzal and Princess Valera?"
"You've listened to too many bards' tales,"
Ara yawned, her own yawn.
"We haven't had kings and queens, princes and princesses, for hundreds of years. Maybe they still have them somewhere if you follow the corridor long enough."
"But they're his sisters, and he's the Emperor.
Crucicle doesn't trust either of them further than he could spit them."
Ara snuggled beneath her blanket, only her hair showing.
"Titles would just encourage them.
The lack of them reminds everyone where the Emperor's favour lies, and where it doesn't. It's like that in high families.
Nona closed her eyes. Treachery and deceit weren't confined to high families. Blood bonds were neither chosen nor hard to break. Whatever the ancestor might have to say on the subject. She lay still, ignoring her pain, knowing sleep would be hard to find. She thought of her fight with Darla, not that it had been a fight from her side, but Darla at least showed some anger, some brutality. That, to Nona, was a fight. The arts that Mistress Blade taught, while deadly, were without passion. The contests felt to Nona more like dances, dances that would end in pain and blood if you missed a step, but dances even so, devoid of rage or hatred. Sister Pan told them the Serenity Trance would help their blade fist, and their blade path too. It married well to the science of combat that Sister Tallow instructed them in. Nona saw the logic of it, but there was a piece missing. Back in the village, the children had always chased Nona for being dark where they were light, for being silent and watchful outside the circle. They seldom caught her, but sometimes the bigs would come upon her unawares. Those were fights, snarling, desperate, savage, and full of rage. Control. How many times had Mistress Blade used that word in a class today? In the Kaltus, Nona had been caught only once by Denim, the red-haired gerent who ruled the attic, at least when Regal's Swift and Dark wasn't there to keep him in order. She had been in the narrow corridor leading to the exit that looked out over the rear of the stables block. Denim had come up behind her while she gazed at the two stallions being exercised. He had taken her forearms, one in each meaty fist.
"What we got here?"
Nona had kicked back hard and twisted for all she was worth. The contact hurt her foot more than it seemed to hurt the boy. He stood shy of 6 foot, but his strength was iron. She couldn't slip his grasp any more than she could lift the building. Snarling, she bent to bite his hand, managing to draw blood before he stretched out her arms painfully, putting his fists beyond reach.
"You'll pay for that!"
Denim had seemed on the point of saying more, but a dull thud interrupted him. The vice-like grip on Nona's arms relaxed, and in a moment she had torn free. She had turned to see Denim clutching his lower back with both hands, and behind him another figure, a touch shorter.
"Go!"
The newcomer hadn't raised his voice, but Denim ran for it, still clutching his back, pushing past Nona and out into the yard beyond. Nona kicked him in the back of the knee as he passed, but he hadn't seemed to notice.
"Kidney punch. Be pissing blood for a week."
The man had had the flat eyes and facial scars of one of the ice tribes, two lines slanting down across each cheek. He had worn a leather jerkin, sealskin trousers, an iron chain loose about his neck, and at his side the flat sword known as a tular. Nona had seen one amid the huge variety in the Kaltus weapon store. The blade was all straight lines, wider at the end than at the hilt, requiring a scabbard open all along its length. In the village they told worse tales about the ice tribes than they did about the Pilarthi. Nobody knew what they ate up there on the sheet, the consensus being that it was each other.
"You're very small. Smallest partners has."
The man was bald, not overly tall, but solid, and he had spoken slowly and with so deep a voice that each word had been like the rolling out of a heavy stone, both measured and considered. Nona had got the feeling that he might never rush a sentence, whether his firstborn lay dead in his arms or he had woken to find his house ablaze all around him. She had rubbed her forearms where Denim had gripped her. "You're a ring fighter?" She hadn't seen him before. She would have known if she had. His eyes were the faint cloudy blue of an ice lake, his skin a dark red. He nodded.
"I fight in the ring. I fight outside it. They call me Tarkax."
He watched her. Nona had found the man's scrutiny uncomfortable. He had something of the wolf about him, but Nona knew wolves.
"Had trouble before?"
The man set his hand to the side of his face, indicating the bruising from where Nona had let Giljon slap her on the day he sold her.
"Got first blood today, though. That's good."
He looked past her to the yard beyond.
"They're going to be teaching you soon enough. Like that."
Outside, the horses still cantered around the grooms on their training ropes.
"Partners as fight masters will tell you it's a science, this business of fists and knives. They'll tell you keep a cool head, detached, control."
The man had given a quick shrug of his shoulders and spat.
"He'll tell you the professional calculates, watches, plans."
"Don't they?"
Nona had turned back towards him.
"Nature shaped us, little girl. Shaped the animals. Predators, prey. Millions of years. Fighting, making children, dying. A cycle that hones each to its purpose. And what have we in common? Wolf. Eagle. Man. Underkillers. Bears. All of us."
His eyebrows had shaped the question. Nona had waited for him to answer, wondering what exactly underkillers were.
"Rage. We've got hate and anger and red fury, child. Saw it in you too. Got your teeth into that idiot boy. Didn't care that he might snap your arms off."
The man had gone down on one knee, face close to hers.
"Here in the corridor, they teach you to put that anger aside. They got their reasons. Keep a calm head and you'll see more. But on the ice, we know better than to let go of the weapons so many hard years have forged for us."
He jabbed a blunt finger at Nona's chest.
"Keep that fire. Use it. We are wild things, us men. And when we remember it, we're at our most dangerous."
Nona hadn't seen the man after that, but his words had struck her like hammers to a bell, and she rang with them, even now in the quiet dark, and she held on to her anger.
"Get up! They're coming!"
Nona opened eyes she felt sure had just that minute closed, and saw only night.
"Quickly!"
She groaned, stiff in every limb, and rolled in time to see a tall figure retreating from the doorway, lantern in hand. All around her, novices were spilling from their beds, some grumbling, some anxious.
"Chazal wasn't supposed to be here until noon."
"Royals do what they want."
Clara, still a lump in her bed.
"Everyone up! Everyone dressed!"
Mally, grey class's head girl, turned up the wick in her night lantern. Nona groaned again, shrugged off her blanket and started to wriggle into her skirts. Fingers busied themselves with laces and ties, not needing instruction from her sleep-fuddled mind. She hadn't lied about being too sore to share a bed with Clara. Sleep had only stiffened her. She hoped Darla's fingers and toes hurt as much as the bruises she gave in exchange. The novices stumbled out into a freezing pre-dawn, the sun a red promise to the east. The scattered ice melted by the focus moon had frozen into a continuous film, treacherous and hard to see. Clara skated out across the courtyard with a dancer's grace, disdaining the threat of a sudden fall, just as she did on the blade path.
"Novice Clara, get in line!"
Sister Flint rounded the corner, a thin, dark line that the sun could not yet muster the courage to unwrap.
"We're required at the abbess's house. Quickly, quietly, and with decorum."
The slow, cold passing of an hour found both novices and nuns, numb-fingered, shivering in their lines before Abbess Glass's steps, watching the pillars for any sign of the royal party's approach. Hessa saw them first. Nona, following the line of Hessa's finger,
had to squint for several moments before she, too, saw the flicker of motion between the pillars. The soldiers came into view first, five ranks of five, all in scarlet and silver. The sight of them gave her a sense of unease, something tugging at her memory. The troop wasn't matched in height as the High Priest's church guards had been, but cut from many cloths with varying degrees of generosity. As the soldiers drew closer, Nona could see that they all shared two things. None were young, and none looked as though crossing them would be a good idea. Nona had been expecting the Emperor's sister to arrive in a sedan chair, larger and more grand than the High Priest's, but both came mounted, despite the ice wind. Shazal cut an impressive figure in the furs of a white bear, astride a huge white horse. High Priest Nevis, on the other hand, looked uncomfortable and ill at ease, huddled in a hooded robe on the back of a grey mare. Behind the two riders straggled a long train of priests, attendants, and baggage porters, many bent against the wind like ridge-topped trees. The choir started up with the first high notes of concordance as the soldiers began to form lines before the steps. Poor Sister Rule had only a moment of song to glory in, though, before the ice wind raised its own voice and drowned the novices out, scouring the plateau with shards straight from the northern sheets. Decorum blew away, too, as Abbess Glass led the charge for the dome of the ancestor. Within minutes the visitors and the whole population of the convent stood packed together in a chaotic and ice-spattered mix, spilling out beyond the foyer's pillared space into the main dome, an unearned privilege for any novices in Red Class who happened to be swept in amid the crush. Shirzal, of course, stood in her own space, at the center of a tight ring of soldiers, who had no qualms about knocking young girls or old nuns aside to make room. Nona slipped and twisted ahead of them to enter the echoing space beneath the dome for the first time. Being in Grey Class now, she was entitled to stand beneath the dome, though it wouldn't have been untypical of Sister Wheel to delay her introduction by weeks or even months just to keep her in her place. Nona looked up, dwarfed by great wolves curving away towards a distant golden vertex. The enclosed space swallowed the intruders, making them seem few and tiny, enfolding their conversation and complaint in its silence. Nona stood, rooted to the spot, the walls seeming to rotate around her as she gazed at the distant heights. Her habit steamed, and fat drops of water fell from the hem. The underside of the dome lay black and seeded with stars and blood crystal. Here and there the stars took on a paler shade, and near the highest point the hope lay in sparkling white quartz. The skyscape held Nona's gaze a while, but the statue at the center soon captured her attention. A human figure, perhaps 20 feet of gleaming gold. Even if it were gold leaf over stone, the wealth it wore could purchase a lifetime's luxury. The figure lacked detail. Was it a man? A woman? This was the ancestor that Sister Wheel had described as a joining of everyone who had ever lived, an ideal in which the best parts of humanity fused into a joyous whole. As the voices stilled behind her, Nona found that although she was still staring towards the statue, she was not staring at it, but past it. What drew her, and had pulled at her ever so faintly since her first night at the convent, sleeping in a nun's cell, was the foyer at the far side, opposite the one she had entered by. Something there, something beyond the dark marble pillars, demanded her attention, just as it had that first night when Sister Apple led her along the corridor between the convent's sleeping nuns. A fullness, an otherness, a something. "Hey!" Clara jabbed Nona's ribs, then pulled her arm to turn her around. "You're missing it!" The soldiers stood in a large perimeter centered on Shazal, now joined by High Priest Nevis, the abbess, and a girl of perhaps 12 or 13. The Emperor's sister had shed her bearskin to reveal a flowing crimson gown edged with silver. The girl, dark-haired and with the flat cheekbones of the Ice Tribes, wore a close approximation of the blade habit, though it, too, was crimson, with silver worked about the collar, and had a belt of silver links.
"Who does she think she is?" Clara whispered. "A red sister?"
On Clara's far side, Gaina snorted.
"She's whoever Shazal says she is," Ara hissed. "You don't want to cross any lances. But Shazal's the worst of them. 3 years ago she had Seema Bressus burned alive as a heretic because the woman made a joke about her hair at the Taxus Grand Ball. They say she owns half the Inquisition."
"Welcome the Emperor's sister, Honourable Shazal, to Sweet Mercy,"
the High Priest droned out his introduction.
"For Abbess Glass to say a few words."
He turned with apparent relief to the abbess. Abbess Glass made her speech well, with ample thanks for the opportunity to show such a high personage around the convent temporarily in her humble charge. She spoke of the famed piety and generosity of the Lancis line, and of how the empire had bloomed under Crucicle's reign. She spoke until the novices began to shuffle from one foot to the other, and even the nun's patient smiles grew fixed.
"I'll just ask her what she wants," Nona whispered. "Which is why you'll be a warrior rather than an abbess," Ara replied.
"Why won't she shut up?"
Clara hugged her belly.
"Breakfast will think I don't love it any more."
Jula shushed everyone. Abbess Glass was coming to the bit where there was nothing left but for the person to say what they wanted.
"Let us know how we can be of service to you, Honourable Shazal."
"Thank you, Abbess."
Shazal offered a broad smile, all red-painted lips, and a bright line that looked too white to be teeth.
"High Priest,"
she nodded to Nevis, the mass of dark red curls bouncing slightly about her head. She looked to be in her 30s, perhaps of an age with Sister Apple, almost beautiful, but with each feature slightly too exaggerated. An animated face, full of vicious good humour.
"I don't intend to remain long. I'll say a prayer, of course. It would be rude not to. After all, my great-great-grand-uncle built this place, did he not? Or was it great-great-great? One of the Persises, anyway. You'll take me around, won't you, Nevis?"
She slipped a bare white arm through the High Priest.
"I must confess first that I did have an ulterior motive for my visit. Not being blessed by the ancestor with children, I have taken young Zol here under my wing."
Shazal indicated the girl in the red habit, and leaned her head in towards the High Priest's. She lowered her voice, but by accident of the dome's acoustics, or by her own design, she remained audible.
"The child was the only survivor from the town of Etus after the Scythrol incursion back in 09. I've taken her on as my ward."
She rotated the High Priest to face Abbess Glass, and continued at more regal volume.
"I've had Zol tutored and trained extensively by a wide range of experts, including Saphira, who benefited from 8 years of study at this very convent. I think, though, that the only place where she can truly finish her education to the highest of standards is right here. I'm told that Grey Class would be best suited to her current skills."
Abbess Glass's smile twitched, just for a fraction of a moment, but Nona saw it.
"I'm so sorry, but that is, of course, quite impos-"
"Abbess?"
High Priest Nevis tilted his head back towards the foyer.
"I'm sure these are matters best discussed in your study, with perhaps a glass of Sweet Mercy's finest vintage to fight the day's chill. It has been a long and bracing journey up from Verity."
Shazal's smile grew wider than Nona had thought possible, showing more teeth than it seemed likely a person could own.
"We'll leave Zol with her class, shall we?" your nuns can have a chance to assess her talents.
Abbess Glass frowned and opened her mouth, but the High Priest spoke first.
Of course, an excellent idea.
He bowed slightly and gestured back towards the doors.
I think we can dare the short trip to the Abbess's house now.
The Abbess's mask showed no fractures this time. Of course. Just a hint of stiffness in her voice.
Novices, return to your classes. The Emperor's sister may stop by to view proceedings before she leaves.
Shazal strode towards the main door with High Priest Nevis, stout and a touch shorter than her, struggling to catch up. Abbess Glass stared after them as the soldiers followed in two files. A moment later she threw up her hands, motioned Sister Tallow towards Zol, and hastened after the Emperor's sister. Chapter 25
It seems I will be having the pleasure of your company in Blade Hall this morning after all, Grey Class.
Sister Tallow's hard stare killed the wave of chatter rising in the wake of the visitors departing the dome.
You still have time for breakfast, at least if you run and manage not to break your legs on the ice. Zol will go with you. Alata, you can watch over her. Go. Don't be late.
Grey Class's exit began a general rush for the refectory. Clara was first through the doors, skidding to a halt at the head of Grey Table. Ara, Zol, and Ketty found their seats a heartbeat later. Nona coming up behind. Within moments, the hall around them filled with novices scrambling for chairs, reaching for plates, and trying to push food into mouths faster than words came out of them. Nona sat with Ara on her right and Zol to her left, until Alata pushed their chairs apart and slid herself between Nona and the new girl.
Zafira was expelled from the convent.
Ara didn't raise her voice or look up from her plate, but somehow everyone at the table heard her.
Who?
Nona asked. The name seemed familiar.
Zafira, the one who trained her.
Ara turned to stare past Nona and Alta at Zol, who returned the stare, her face a mask.
She was expelled from the convent for stabbing another novice when she turned her back on her, after defeating her in Blade Class.
A lie.
Zol's lips gave only the slightest twitch to release the words.
How do you know stuff like this?
Clara asked.
Who got stabbed?
Nona asked.
I know because my father keeps me informed of matters that affect me.
Ara kept her eyes on Zol, her food untouched.
Shazal has been hunting all across the Empire for possible two-bloods, chasing down any thread her academics can find. She picked up this one.
She nodded towards Zol.
After my uncle outwitted her troops and got me safely to the convent. Shazal will be trying to get her in with us as a spy, perhaps as an assassin, too.
You think too much of yourself.
Zol bit into her bread and swallowed in two chews.
Highness Shazal lost interest in you long ago.
Because she has you?
Ara snorted. Zol didn't reply, just kept on eating. The others, tired from the previous day's labor, from rising early, and from a long wait in the cold, followed her example. While she ate, Nona stole glances at the new girl. She had the flat features of the ice tribes, broad cheekbones, eyes like black stones. Without any clues, she could as easily be a boy as a girl. Bray sounded far too soon, and Nona limped from the table still chewing, bringing up the rear with Darla, hunched against the wind as the Grey Class novices headed for Blade Hall. 10 yards from the doors, now closed behind the rest of the class, Darla slipped on sheet ice. She fell heavily, unable to break the fall with her injured hand. Nona braced herself and offered her arm for the larger girl to lever herself back up.
"Don't need your help, squirt,"
Darla snarled, slipping again as she tried to rise. Nona stayed where she was.
"When the convent's full of strangers, we don't need to fight each other."
She reached for Darla's elbow.
We'll be sisters one day.
Darla grunted, but she let Nona take some of her weight as she got up. They came through the doors together, ears stinging from the ice wind, faces red. Sister Talla waited for them on the sands, Zoll beside her in scarlet and silver. The rest of the class already vanished into the changing room. Up on the benches, Shazal, the high priest, and Abbess Glass sat surrounded by attendants. Shazal's soldiers lined the walls, having pushed the stuffed leather combat dummies out into the hall to make room. Darla and Nona hurried across to the tunnel, heads down to avoid Sister Tallow's disapproval. Nona entered the familiar warmth of the changing room to find Clara just getting up, dressed, and ready to return. The heat of the pipes always reminded Nona's body to expect a fight. That, and the smell of the place, young bodies and old sweat, something a day's cleaning couldn't erase.
"Fist habits today," Clara grinned as she passed them. "We get to pound on the new girl."
Nona was second last out of the changing room, leaving Darla still fumbling with her ties. The broken finger would save her hair. Sister Tallow would rarely shave a novice for lateness if they had a genuine excuse. Nona bit down on her pain and jogged out onto the sand as easily as she could, with every ache and injury from the past 2 days screaming at her. Grey Class watched her arrival.
"Good!"
Sister Tallow didn't seem minded to wait for Darla.
"Novice Clara, a demonstration for the class of the Blade Fist Kata?"
Clara stepped forward, her smile vanishing as she focused on the complex set of moves required, a long dance of violence demonstrating all the main forms of the art, stressing every muscle and joint a body owns. Zoll stood beside Sister Tallow, her face without expression, dark eyes glinting. Nona glanced across at Ara and found a similar lack of expression on her friend's face. The echoes of unspoken words trembled across her lips, her eyes fixed on some point beyond Tallow and Zoll, perhaps on the tall windows, each offering a deep blue infinity of sky. Clara moved into the kata, her speed dazzling, snapping out kicks above her head with so swift a tempo that to most of her audience it would be nothing but a blur of motion. She leapt forward, skidding into a crouch with her head almost touching the floor, before jumping up, feet pulled in, leaving almost room for Nona to walk beneath. A series of blocks and punches followed in the prescribed order, intermixed with spins and reversals. Sand sprayed beneath the balls of her feet, a suspicious amount of it in Zoll's direction. A minute later, and the performance ended with a jump kick high enough to break the jaw of a Gerent Prime. 90 separate moves woven together and executed at breathtaking speed. Clara returned to the front row, flushed, and making an effort to hide how winded the exercise had left her. Sister Tallow turned to Zoll.
"Perhaps you could demonstrate your training for us now."
Zoll inclined her head a fraction.
"I know Blade Fist, Noi Tau, the Skithrul Kill Game, and elements of the Torka. Which would you prefer to see, Mistress Blade?"
Sister Tallow frowned.
"The Torka is rarely seen."
"She's trained with the Noi Guin," Clara hissed. "Must have. They kill anyone else who teaches Noi Tau."
"If I may," Shazal raised her voice from the stands, "perhaps a more practical demonstration? Zoll could spar with one of your novices. Nevis was telling me that you have a girl who passed the ordeal of the shield within weeks of entering the convent."
Abbess Glass glanced down at Sister Tallow, who gave the smallest shake of her head. Nona felt the tension leave her and unclenched her teeth. Tallow knew that Darla could hand out quite a beating.
"A different novice, perhaps?"
The abbess turned back with a smile.
"Nona has had a difficult week. Perhaps novice Arabella?"
Shazal echoed the abbess's smile.
"I would like to see this Nona of yours,
against my girl.
Beside the Emperor's sister, High Priest Nevis lifted a hand.
The shield still has to guard the Argatha, bad week or not. This should be good training for that duty.
He waved proceedings on. Avisglass started to rise from her seat, then fell back, returning the hard line of her mouth to the smile she had momentarily misplaced.
Of course.
Nona,
Sister Tallow beckoned her forward.
Show our guest how we fight at Sweet Mercy.
Nona stepped forward, meeting Zol's stare. She felt a heat rise somewhere deep, just beneath her ribs. The girl's eyes held a challenge, the sort she had not sensed since she first saw Raymel Taxus. A killer's confidence. And something inside her burned in answer. Nona had yet to fight within Blade Hall. For 2 years she had learned and learned, practiced until her muscles tore and her bones creaked. Sister Tallow had pitted the novices against each other constantly, and yet to Nona, those were not fights. They were contests. Contests between friends, or at least classmates. Even when Darla came against her on the previous morning, Nona hadn't, in the marrow of her bones, considered it a fight.
"Mark the corners,"
Sister Tallow pointed to the practice dummies, and the novices hastened to drag four of them to mark out a square, two girls struggling with each dummy, rough man shapes of leather stuffed with horsehair, set on wooden posts that bedded in heavy and rounded bases so they would rock rather than fall. Nona let the others do the work and stayed beside Ara, stretching, trying to squeeze the weary ache from her muscles. "Princess doesn't want to work up an honest sweat with royalty looking on." Clara stared in Ara's direction, grunting with effort as she and Ketty heaved a dummy to the nearest corner. Ara said nothing, just kept staring at the tall windows opposite, the ghost of some rhyme on her lips. Within a minute, the novices stood once more in their lines before Mistress Blade, and the four dummies stood at the corners of a square 10 yards on a side. At Sister Tallow's nod, Nona stepped into the combat area. She rolled her head to one side, then the other, stretching her neck, then ran her hands up through the close-cropped thickness of her hair. Zol entered the square from the other side. She stood a head taller than Nona.
"I will make you bleed," she said. Her accent clipped. "Regardless of how swiftly you submit."
Nona turned side on, one leg forward, crouching in the blade fist stance, hands raised.
"I'm ready."
"Fight!"
Sister Tallow stepped back. Zol came forward, unhurried but without hesitation. Nona stood her ground and retreated into the space between moments, freezing the dust motes in place within the shafting sunlight. It took an age for Zol to enter arm's reach, and as she did, she snapped a punch at Nona's throat. The girl's fist came so fast that only instinct saved Nona, her arm deflecting the punch into her collarbone. The force of the blow threatened to snap the bone and sent Nona reeling backwards. Balance lost, Nona let herself fall, narrowly evading a second punch. She kicked as she dropped, aiming for Zol's jaw. The tribe girl stopped Nona's rising foot on her triceps and came on, lifting into a flying kick aimed at Nona's chest. Nona lacked the balance and time to block. Accepting the impact on her bruised ribs, she drove her forearm in hard, just below the girl's knee, using her other arm to break her fall. She hit the ground with a thump, the impact sending up a lazy spray of sand. Zol continued her advance at exactly the same pace she had maintained from the start, stamping at Nona's hands and head as she rolled away. Nona rolled, contorting to avoid Zol's feet. One heel aimed at her head came down on her shoulder, the shock of the blow pulsing into the bone, rippling away through the muscle.
Nona hooked an elbow behind the foot and let her rotation drag it along. Rather than fight the motion, Zol accelerated into it, then out of it, lifting into a backflip. As Nona's arms came beneath her torso, she shoved with all her strength, providing enough momentum to spin back to a standing position in an awkward swirl just as Zol's flip came full cycle. The girl landed on the balls of her feet, crouched and ready. Most of the audience would have seen a quick flurry of blows, Nona hitting the ground, Zol unbalanced, and both girls gaining their feet with acrobatics all over in a moment. Nona and Zol, however, had both learned a considerable amount in that thin slice of time. They stood for a heartbeat, each watching the other. Nona attacked, seeking the initiative, a red anger welling up through her, hot enough to burn away both weariness and pain. She came forward, arms raised in defense, in short, high steps that kept a leg ready to block or kick. Zol let her come close, let her punch, punch, and punch again, deflecting each strike with forms Clara had shown in the blade fist kata. Zol's counterpunch came lightning fast, but Nona caught it in her hand, moving her other hand in to help stress the girl's wrist. Somehow, in moves unknown to Nona, the girl was climbing her, using the trapped fist as an anchor and setting her feet to Nona's knee and hip. The leverage exploited gravity to launch Nona skyward. She had to release Zol's hand to deflect kicks coming up as the girl fell towards the sand. This time, when Nona landed, it was all she could do to pull her limbs in to brace for the impact. She rolled to the side to see Zol already coming towards her with the same unhurried pace. Nona reached to slow the whirl's progress, but her grip on time's current was failing. Her exhaustion ran bone deep, and every part of her hurt. Anger flared again. Nona pushed herself up, rising as Zol arrived. She flung herself forward, accepting an agonizing punch to the gut, and slipping Zol's blow towards her head, the girl's knuckles sliding across her lips. The move brought them together. Nona's hand on Zol's chest, her fingers tented above the small swell of her breast. For some fragment of a second, they held like that, both looking down at Nona's hand, Nona snarling with the effort it took to hold back the invisible blades that had opened Raymel Taxus's throat. She could slice through flesh and ribs, cut out the bitch's heart and hold it dripping above her. She could stand panting above the ruin of her foe and howl her victory. The pain in her gut, the blood in her mouth, the rage pulsing through every vein. All these things demanded it. What? Zol's surprise turned to contempt, the moment's hesitation gone. She drove her forehead into Nona's face and threw her to the ground. Nona lay where she fell. Zol's kicks and stamps rained around her. She blocked the worst of them, but even the ones that got through had more violence behind them than Darla's. It was a combination of power and accuracy that couldn't help but break things.
No!
The voice wasn't Nona's or Zol's. It wasn't Sister Tallow's. It hardly sounded human. It made the stone floor buzz and the sand dance in a golden haze shot through with strange patterns. It made the air brittle. It made Zol stop attacking. And Nona stopped defending. Nona let her head flop to the side. One eye wouldn't open, but through the slit of the other, she saw that a space had cleared around Ara. Something was wrong with her. She looked the same, but different, as if she were fashioned from something not of the world, a piece of stained glass cut and colored to resemble Arabella Jotsis, but lit from within. Bleeding light in hues that the ancestor had never intended men to see. Ara stood staring at Nona on the sand, and Zol above her. A trickle of blood ran from her nose, reaching her lip. She shuddered, or the world did, showing her in three poses, each out of line with the others. She stepped forward, or rather one Ara stepped forward, another stayed, a third caught between them, each overlapping, one vibrating through the next. The Aras, or images of Ara, came together with a snap like the sky breaking, and Ara stood there, singular, facing them, eyes blazing as if her head were full of light. She took two more paces towards Zol, then, with a snarl, veered towards the closest practiced dummy. Her punch happened too fast to see, but it put her fist through the leather and deep into the padding. She ripped it out sideways, shredding the thick leather polished by 10,000 blows and scattering the horsehair in clumps. Exposed in the gaping wound left behind, the wooden center post lay splintered where Ara's fist had found it. Ara stared at Zol, eyes burning.
"Let Nona go!"
her voice shuddering with harmonics. "Or..." To her credit, Zol kept any fear from the word, or perhaps she just lacked the imagination for it. Ara reached into the fight dummy and grasped the heavy post. The noise started as a moan, building rapidly, bursting past Ara's teeth, becoming a yell, and in one moment the dummy became pieces, fragments of leather expanding outward, a cloud of horsehair shaken from its clumps, and in the middle, splinters, thousands of splinters. A noise like the end of the world shoved Nona, rolling her over and over. She closed her eyes, pulling her limbs in tight, and all around sand and debris began to rain down about her.
"Nona!"
A cold wet something returned Nona to the hall, and the sharp angles of her pain. She had been sinking into the endless comfort of deep, dark cushions, and the transition was not a welcome one.
"What?"
She tried to push the wetness away.
"Open your eyes!"
Nona opened them and found herself staring up at Clara, dripping rag in hand. Hessa stood at Clara's shoulder, frowning her concern.
"Are you all right? Anything broken?"
Nona groaned a wordless reply and moved a hand to her ribs.
"Ara's in so much trouble."
Clara sounded awed. Her half-grin echoed conflicting emotions.
What happened? Didn't you see? She went into the serenity trance and walked the path.
Clara leaned over to brush bits of the practice dummy from Nona's hair. Behind her, a wall of backs, novices facing the stands at the end of the hall.
"Ara must have taken three steps at least, maybe more. Did you see what she did?"
Nona struggled to rise, clutching her side. Clara held her down for a moment, then decided to help. Ducking under Nona's arm, she levered her into a standing position. Hessa tried to help, but mostly got in the way.
"Your head?"
Nona saw that the left side of Hessa's face lay grazed and bleeding.
"I felt her beating you."
Hessa shrugged, acknowledging the link between them.
"And I fell over."
Together they edged to the end of the line of grey-class novices. Nona spotted Zol two places down, her tunic torn, small splinter wounds peppering her face. Ara stood before the seating stand, Sister Tallow beside her, hand on her shoulder. Sister Wheel had arrived from somewhere and stood at the base of the steps to the seating. The High Priest, flanked by Shazal and Abbess Glass, had come to the front and was staring down at the novice in judgment. Shazal wore a broad smile as she leaned out over the rail.
"An impressive display, young Jotsis," she called down. "It appears to have broken all manner of convent rules, though."
Ara stared up at the Emperor's sister, making no reply. The High Priest made a curt gesture.
"Novice Arabella, you've used the path without sanction, without full training, and endangered one of my personal guests. It is my judgment that you be given 20 strokes of the cane, sentenced to be carried out immediately."
The High Priest nodded to Sister Tallow.
"Mistress Blade to deliver punishment."
Sister Tallow steered Ara back into the hall, pushing her ahead, and Ara made no protest, still dazed, perhaps.
"Maybe."
Shazal drew the word out, her voice somehow stopping everyone, despite appearing conversational.
"Maybe, as young Arabella is rumoured to be the
Agatha, it would be fitting for her shield to take the beating for her. After all, it was her shield's failure that prompted the poor girl's indiscretion.
Surely that would set entirely the wrong example. And besides, Zoe...
Abbasglass had more to say, but the High Priest overrode her.
It would be unusual in the context of our convents, honored Sherzal, though I quite understand that these practices are common among the highest families. Arabella herself may well have been raised with a whipping girl to receive her punishments for her.
I know I was,
Sherzal smiled.
How my tutors used to beat poor Susie. I never did seem to learn my lesson, though.
It would perhaps be inappropriate here, honored Sherzal.
High Priest Nevis almost cringed, as if it hurt his mouth to utter any form of contradiction aimed at the Emperor's sister.
Even when the novice is of royal ancestry, our recruits leave worldly attachments behind them when they join us.
I'll do it.
Nona raised her voice and took a step forward.
What?
The High Priest turned from Sherzal, blinking.
I will do it,
Nona said.
See?
Sherzal gestured with an open hand.
The girl is ready to be punished for her mistakes.
Her smile broadened.
If only all peasants were so obliging.
Well?
Nevis frowned.
If the novice is willing.
He glanced towards Abbasglass, but too quickly to allow her a response. Sister Wheel advanced from the steps, producing a long cane from the folds of her habit, a black strip of wire willow, thin enough to cut with each blow.
I told you, Zol spoke quietly behind Nona, that I would make you bleed.
Chapter 26
Bite on this,
Sister Tallow offered Nona a leather strap.
Why?
Nona asked.
It will give you something to do.
Nona shook her head, keeping her eyes on Sister Tallow's. The old woman returned her gaze. She had the kind of face that was hard to imagine showing any emotion. A mask of leathery skin, small, tight wrinkles, seams of old scars, cheekbones making sharp angles, her mouth a short and bitter line. Nona always thought of Mistress Blade as old, though no age showed in the way she moved. Sister Rose had said Hunska's race through their days. Perhaps Mistress Blade and the Poisoner had shared a class once. Sister Apple still sweet, ambling through a long life, while Sister Tallow's candle burned at both ends and lighted her way to dusty death. Nona's thoughts occupied her as Sister Tallow checked the strap securing her wrists above her head. The leather bound her to the lowest of five iron rings set into the wall. Sister Tallow stepped away, leaving Nona facing the stonework, naked. Her habit had been removed to let the lash land, her skirts and smalls taken to save them from the blood. Many of her classmates had gasped as she stripped, and they saw for the first time the dark and mottled patchwork of bruising all across her back, ribs, and thighs. Not Zol's work, though that would show soon enough, but Darla's from the day before.
Ready?
Sister Tallow asked.
Yes.
Nona hadn't forgotten the grey. 2 years of convent living hadn't taken it from her. Sister Wheel called her a peasant still, and if peasants knew anything, it was how to suffer and how to endure. The wire willow struck. Left shoulder to right hip, not a crushing blow like the ones High Priest Jacob had struck against Forefoot, but a cutting one, a shockingly painful line, like acid, burned in and bleeding out into muscle and bone. Nona screamed. She hadn't set her mind to silence. She put no stock in sullen defiance. She screamed out the agony as a wordless curse. A promise of violent retribution, a vow that if Zol or any other came against her outside the rules of the hall, she would cut their heart out. The next lash struck across the first, and Nona roared her defiance, not a girl's shriek, but something deep and guttural, a noise she hadn't known herself capable of. Another lash, and another. Nona saw all four blows as bright and intersecting lines across the backs of her eyes.